KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
2 Samuel chapter 22, and we're going to look at verse 29. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Verse 30. For by thee have I run through truth. By my God have I leaped over a wall. Look at your name and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
I leaped over the wall.
I leaped over the wall.
The title of the message today is Leaping Over a Wall. You may be seated. Have you ever ran into a wall? Have you ever been going somewhere, headed somewhere, and ran into a brick wall and did not know what to do? Frustrated. Something got after you, or you were after something. There are two things about this. Something was making you run, and you ran into a wall, or you were after something and ran into a wall. But walls are in all of our lives. Every day, we have to stand before walls. Last year, I was in a wall, but I leaped over a wall. When we had watch night service the other night, all I could think about after 12 o'clock, thank you, Jesus, I leaped over 2017, and I leaped into 2018. Thank you, Jesus, I leaped over that wall. But the fact that I leaped over last year's wall doesn't mean I won't run into some walls this year. And some of you can just look back and say, some walls I leaped over last year, some walls I had to run up against last year, and now here we are in this new year. Can you look back and tell somebody I leaped over some walls right now? Tell somebody, I leaped over some serious walls. I leaped over some high walls. But here's the point. The point is not that you had a wall high, you leaped. You made it over that wall. What am I talking about today? Walls are in everybody's life. You're going to face some walls. Am I looking at some young people here today? You're going to be challenged about some walls. This is about a challenge. Leaping over a wall is about a challenge. Life is full of challenges. You're going to be you know what? The good thing about a challenge proves what you made out of. When you're challenged about something, you have unknown resources. You have power you didn't know you had. You get challenged when you got to make a decision about something, you'll discover you know how to make decisions. When you get a challenge about school, and it's a hard school, you'll know the importance that you can pass. Because you passed some courses you didn't think you could pass. It was a challenge. A challenge brings out the power in us that we did not know we had. When you're faced with walls in life, it makes you come up with things you didn't think you could do. It makes you have strength that you didn't know you had. Let some animal attack a baby from a mother. That mother might run from that dog. But you let that dog put his hands on that baby. That mama will come with her fist. She'll take that dog and wring her finger down his mouth and pull his tongue out. Man, you mess with a mother's child. You'll find out, they always even say a grizzly bear will run from a male bear, but let him attack her little one. She will fight him to death because a challenge is there. She got to defend her children, and that's what a mother is. A mother will give her life for her child, because it's a challenge. When a man walks off and leaves you, and you thought you couldn't make it without him, you let him leave and you don't have no other man to help you, you'll find out that woman will get up and be the man of the house. That woman will find out, "I didn't know I could pay rent." That woman will tell, "I didn't know I could buy my own car." You will find out you can do without some folk when you're challenged. But until you get a challenge, you don't think you can do without some people. If you don't think you can live without some folk, just let them die. If you don't think the church can run without you, don't you mess around here and die. Baby, if you die, Mount Carmel gonna still be moving. Amen. If you leave, you're gonna find out there gonna still be a church. We've seen people go and come, and it's still a church. The church can go on with or without you. Don't ever think that can't nobody make it without you. If you think they can't, just die. And I declare, I buried a lot of folk, but I have never seen them stay in the casket with loved ones. I've seen them cry on the casket. I've seen them fall on the casket. But when I got to that graveyard and I said, "Ashes to ashes, dust to dust," they got right on up and left and came on with me. You know why? Because it's over. Now you have to go on with your life. You can't die because the dead's gone. That's not God's will. If God wanted to take you, he would have taken you. So you live on. You go on. You thank God for the challenge, because now you're going to find out what you can do by yourself. Some of you all right now, some young men talking about, "I didn't have no daddy to help me. My father never put his arms around me. He never encouraged me." But did it stop you? Maybe it was good you didn't have that. You know why? Because you're not spoiled and ruined. Now you know how to get up and do for yourself. Now you know that, now that you know that you didn't have a father there, you had to become a father. You had to become a man. You had to do for yourself. And Abraham Lincoln said, "Out of all that I am, I became what I am after I lost my mother and my father." He picked himself up, took Shakespeare in one hand and the Bible in the other hand, and became a brilliant lawyer. He did it on his own. When you don't have nobody to do for you, you will do it on your own. That's a challenge. And God sometimes will let us run into a wall so you can learn the power of leaping. This psalm in the Bible evidently is David. David is saying, "Thank you, God." It's a song of praise and thanksgiving. Looking back over what I have gone through, I leaped over a wall. You're going to have some walls. I'm telling you right now, you're going to have some walls this year. So what are you going to do? Little? Thank you, sister. You're the only one helping me preach today. There have been a lot of walls in history, and walls have always stood out in my mind. We are the recipient of some information today because of walls. Stone Age and all the things that we learn about man in the past is written on walls. I had an opportunity to go down in Egypt and go down in the Great Pyramid. And when I went all down in the hole and see King Tut's grave and all the other little places where these Egyptians or pharaohs were buried, I saw all these paintings on the walls and the writings on the wall. It gives us the history. And Indians will tell you, go and look on some of the walls. You'll see the histories about other people. I'm talking about a great flood came worldwide. You go all around, you see where a whole lot of things took place, and we learn from what men have written on walls. The Bible says that Babylon was the oldest city in the world, and it was known for its walls, which were 350 feet high. And these walls were the walls that terrified the enemy. And God wrote on Belshazzar's wall. He was depending on his wall, and then God wrote on his wall. walls tell so much. Kings used to leave things on the walls so that their accomplishment would be discovered. And, of course, what comes to my mind is the Great Wall of China. The Great Wall of China, which is run 1,400 miles long and about 25 and 30 feet tall. It's a wonder in the world with the great engineering and how that done 300 years before Christ was born. China built that wall, going over valleys, going over mountains, going over rivers. That wall, 1,400 feet long, 30 feet tall. The Great Wall of China that they boast on today. But what is it saying about that wall? That wall is about separation. Countries and states are separating themselves. That's the danger of these walls. They separate us. I know why the Pope condemned our President Trump about that wall he wants to build. Right. The Pope condemned him because walls separate us. And that's not God's will that we be separated. God didn't put us here to be separated. God put us all here together. And if there's racism in this country that we don't want to mix with other people, it's not God's will. If God wanted us to live separately, he would have put us on some other planet. But I got a word for all of you that's full of racism. God meant for us to live together, and he didn't put us on but one world. Now, you can go to the moon, you can go to other stars, you can search out the planetary world, and you can go around looking for life, and all you found is rocks. You know why that's all you found is a bunch of rocks? Because that's what God intended for, to be just a rock. He put life on this earth. And he did not put us on several earths so you could live somewhere else. He put us all here together, and we have to live together. We have to work out our differences. We may be different in culture and in language, but we're all blood is red. And when you do a research on it, all people act the same. The same problem exists in the white, exists in the black, exists in all races. Some of the same jealousy, envy, strife, anger, family problem, divorce, name it, crime, on down. All that stuff is in all races. There are other countries that are racist against their own color. That's racism in Russia. That's racism in Egypt. That's racism all over the world. That's racism among blacks. When I was a student at Morehouse College, it was racism because a Spelmanite, she wouldn't date you unless she was a Morehouse man, and that's why I like to got beaten up by a boy at Morris Brown. I had a Morehouse jacket on, and he said, "Yeah, you got one more time to wear it over here again." I said, "Why you messing with me, bro? Y'all think you something." I can't help it because the lady that Spelman, some Spelmanite marry some Morehouse brother, marry some Morehouse man, and some of them marry some Morris Brown men. There's some of them married. I got one who married. One is a Spelmanite, she married Brother Norris. He's a Morris Brown man, he got her too. See, that is nothing but plain racism right there against some of our own people don't want to be around our own people. That's racism. Some of you all got little cliques in the church. You won't even sit with certain folk because they don't drive certain cars. That's racism. That's a wall. We don't need no wall separating us. You know why? I think about the Great War of World War II. When the Allies and America decide on D-Day to liberate France from the Nazis. On D-Day, they came in to liberate France because Great Britain was about to go under to Hitler. But you know what? Churchill kept begging Roosevelt to help them in the war. Roosevelt didn't want to get in the war because America didn't want no wars. After World War I, they didn't want another war. America wanted to get happy and have hell parties. Boom! When the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor, Roosevelt said, "I got my chance." Then he declared war on Japan. But that gave him the opportunity to hook up with Churchill. And when America, and then Hitler declared war on America. Yes, he did. America. And then that gave Roosevelt the opportunity to not join up with Great Britain. And when they came after Hitler on D-Day, Hitler was going after Russia, and America came in at him. Now watch this. Hitler got stopped at Stalingrad because his Sixth Army went there to take Stalingrad, but they got caught in the Russian winter snow. And it froze. In fact, my history reminds me of Napoleon lost his army messing around with that snow. And that freezing weather froze his army, and Hitler didn't give those men enough equipment and food and clothing. And they froze in Stalingrad. And then the Red Army came in after them when they found out Japan was not going to attack Russia and knocked them out. And when all those countries came together, the big three came together, Roosevelt, Churchill, and Stalin. It's called the Big Three. They knew they had defeated Hitler, so the Big Three, I like to preach a sermon on the Big Three one day. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Big Three came, they had gotten together to divide Germany. They had already said, let's meet and see how we're going to divide. Great Britain, what peace you going to get? America, what peace you going to get? Stalin, what peace you going to get? So America was trying to beat Russia to Berlin, so they would grab the city first. But the Red Army beat us down. And when Russia got there ahead of us and found Hitler body had been burned, then there come a great wall between the East and the West that separated Germany. And what my history tells me, Ronald Reagan told Gorbachev, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down these walls. Bring that wall down so there be no more separation between sisters and brothers. Walls separated. If you're not careful, there'll be a wall in your family. You'll be in one area of the house and somebody else in another area. One thing about me growing up with my sisters and brothers, I knew all of them because there wasn't one room in the house. Wasn't no such thing as go up to your room. What room? Now all these big houses we have, kids can say, when you say go up to your room, the kid's saying, thank you, Jesus. Because up there in his room, he got all that he needs, all the video games. He can go up there and play with his computer. Oh, it's so much. A big house sometimes can cause separation. You don't know each other. Everybody's separated, going their places. But when we were living in those little small houses, we all knew each other because there was no wall. Sometimes success can ruin you. Now you're so busy making a living, you haven't made a life. I only took some more at these walls. Now that we know we have to face some walls, I want to tell you, some walls, God won't demolish. There's no demolition. When you run up against certain walls, I'm afraid you need to know this, God will not knock it down. Most of us, when we run up against a wall, we want some demolition. You know what we want to say? Lord, now if you my God, you need to move this wall. You need to move this woman. You need to move this man. I know some of you old women out there say, Lord, please move it. I can't go nowhere. Will you move? All right, you all looking at me funny. I wouldn't say that if some of you all already said, oh, please, Lord, move it. Lord, will you move this woman? I wish I could get rid of her. She trouble. Will you move her? And don't say, Lord, move the pastor. No, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Have you been on your job and you had a mean boss and you said, Lord, I need this income. I don't want to leave my job. I've been here too long, Lord. I know some of you all probably came up here with a seat off and said, Lord, just put on there, please move them. And you go back the next day on your job thinking they're gone, and they were just on vacation. You shouted too soon. God will not move some walls. He will not take some folk out your life. I don't care how hard you pray. You will pray to God to move some situation out your life and look like he moved everything but that wall. I don't know about you. Have you ever asked God to move some thing and he moved them, and the very thing you really want him to move, he won't? Why? Some things God doesn't want to move. He wants you to leave. Listen, Inez used to sing a song. Lord, you don't have to move my mountain, but give me strength to climb. What is that saying to me? Why won't God heal some sickness? Why won't God take away some habits? If some habits were not in your life, you would probably tell the Lord, I'm sure, Lord, if you just move this, I could be a better Christian. Lord, if you take this old drinking habit from me, I could be a better person. Lord, if you just take this smoking out my mouth, Lord, and they won't smell that on my breath. I know I could be a better Christian. Lord, if you just take some of these desires that I have that not Christian, I could pray better. And God won't. You know why? Because in your weakness, God shows his strength. Bible said, through your weakness, God is making you somewhat perfect. You know what? That doesn't make sense, Reverend. Because God wants you to depend upon his strength. God does not want you boasting on your strength. God wants you to boast on his strength in your weakness. In your weakness, you are dependent on God. In your weakness, you're asking God to help me. In your weakness, God is seeing you depending on his power. So now that you're getting God's power, now you can say, I can do all things. Help me, Holy Ghost. When I was building this church for you, and I ran out of money, and I needed $300,000, there was no roof on the building. The building was standing here. My contractors walked off, and I said, Lord, what am I going to do now? They laughing at me. Preacher saying, biting off more than he can chew. And the humiliation went on. The storm came through and knocked down the first walls of the unit. Preacher laughed all about me. See, God knocked it down. I said, yes, and God provided me some insurance. They're coming back up. The humiliation. And when I start selling stocks and bonds. I start selling bonds all over the country to build this church, by the way. And when I sold bonds, I didn't know what I was going to do. My contractors walked off and said, you all going to walk off and leave me? Go on, Reverend. We can't pay our people with our money. I went on my knees. I prayed right here in the middle of this floor one night at 12 in the midnight. I said, God, if you want me to build this church, you got to help me now. I don't have the money. I called some of my big friends that always smile in my face. I'm with you. You know how we say, I'm with you. It's called the be with you members. Not with you, the be with you members. And when you run into a real trouble, I call some of my millionaire friends. And you know what they gave me? The voicemail. You know what they did? They put me in touch with the secretary. And then they went to talking all kind of ways when they talk. Well, I don't know. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do that. I just said, I'm forgetting about all of them. I went to go. And all of a sudden, I got a notice that you have not only got that $300,000, you got a little bit more. Prayer. We finished this wall. We finished this roof. And I raised that pulpit. There's a pulpit under this pulpit. I said, Lord, take it a little higher so they can see me in the balcony. Praise God. And when I went out of town, I said to the man who we was building the construction on the building, and we had sheetrocked it, and he said, Reverend, this was supposed to be a flat, it was supposed to be a wall this straight. I said, sir, I want you, that beam going across it to hold this roof up, I want you to arch it.
All right.
He said, that's not in the plan. I said, I'm the plan. Do what I say. I designed the whole church. I said, do it, sir. I know what God's telling me. He said, all right, I'm going to put the arch there like you want it, Reverend. I said, thank you. Now, I said, now I want you to put a cross there. I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me.
Amen.
He said, what? I said, that's going to be the philosophy and my motto for this church.
Amen.
He said, why you want that? I said, God told me. That's my testimony when every member walk in.
Amen.
He said, Reverend, the word's too long. That won't fit that arch. It's going to run all over the church. I said, I know what God said. Just do it. I went out of town. He said, well, you leaving me? I said, yes, sir. Do what I ask. He went on and he started doing the work. I'm out of town. We didn't have cell phones then. So all of a sudden, he called me and said, Reverend, not only was the word, the I, N on the E, it fits. He said, I put the scripture right up under that. He said, but what shocked me, the word Christ is in the middle. I can leap over the wall. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. If I had the strength of Muhammad Ali, I could dance around, sting like a bee. If I had the strength of Joe Louis, I could knock out any Max Smith. If I had the strength of Hank Aaron, I could knock over 783 home runs. If I had the strength of a Mike Tyson, I'd knock you out if you mess with me. But since I don't have that strength, I got the strength of God, and I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Thank God I leaped over the wall of construction by the help of God. In your weakness, God shows his power. When you've done all you can do, that's when God moves in. When a man finds out he doesn't have nobody else but God, that's when he finds out God is enough. God will never show his power as long as you're in his way. But when you get out of the way of God and you say, Lord, not my might, but by your might. Not by my name, but your name. Not by my voice, but your voice. Not by my understanding, but your wisdom. Not by my experience, but your experience. I can conquer anything. I can leap over any wall as long as God give me the power. God help me this. You can't do it. Overcome no habit by yourself. It takes the power of God. You can't handle your enemies. You too weak. But the power of God. Yeah. That power of God can help you overcome and leap any wall. Now, let me tell you something else. You can't leap if you don't want it bad. A lot of y'all, you don't want something bad enough. That's why you want demolition. Because leaping is about doing something and not saying something. See, a whole lot of y'all want to leap over some wall by saying, Lord, do it for me. And Lord say, you do it. Well, Lord, I can't leap over this wall. I guess you can. Because it requires the supernatural. But you can leap over the natural. I'm here to help you leap over what you can't leap. But what you can leap over, you leap. You all want God to pay your bills. And you sit down on your blessed assurance. And do nothing. You all want a great blessing to get said, come up here, Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. And thank God gonna pay your rent. Listen, if you want a job, you better not only have a Bible, you better have some newspaper and go to the want ad. You better get up and go fill out an application. God's not going to just give you a job because you prayed, Reverend Fleming laid hands on you, fell flat out on the floor. How about not shut my top? You went down broke and you still got up broke. Look at somebody and say, you better get up and do something and leap. You all want God to cook the food and then chew it up in his mouth and make it soft like a baby and put it in your mouth. Look at somebody and say, use your teeth and chew your own. Leap. Stop looking for God to give you a handout. God wants you to do what you can do for yourself. And when you can't do nothing else, when you've gone to your extreme, that's when God will give you the power to do the supernatural. You can handle the natural yourself. But God, you don't have to do for me what I can do for myself, but give me the strength to do what I cannot do for myself. That's called doing something instead of saying something. You can pray all day long for God to do something. He won't do it. You ask Lord, why you won't do it? He said, why don't you do it? And when you can't do, listen, students, I tried this one time. Old folk tell some lies sometimes. I had a hard course at Morehouse, a test. They said, put the book under your pillow. Now, I didn't study. And I not only put the book under my pillow, I put everything else under the pillow and went to sleep. I prayed, now, Lord, I'm pass this test because you're going to give me the wisdom. I went over there, and that was the biggest elf I ever seen. I got mad with God. God said, I didn't tell you that lie. That came from some old folk. I said, somebody, I'm going to give you the knowledge to pass that test with a book under your pillow. You didn't study. Now, God's not going to help you pass no test because you prayed. Do it yourself. God will give you the wisdom. God gave you the mind. That's what you don't have. He gave you. Listen, you're not going to get nothing if you don't do your part. You got to leap over the wall you can leap over. But when you come to a wall you can't leap over and you want to get over it, ain't no need of you trying that. That's when you say, Lord, give me your strength. That's a wall I can't handle. I can't change people. I've tried to change them. I can't change my children. I can't make them do what I try to tell them to do. That's something you got to leave in God's hand. God's going to protect them just like he protected us when we were young and stupid. Don't be worried about what's going to happen to them when you're gone. They're going to live and you're going to be gone. If God took care of you when you were young and stupid, don't you think he's going to take care of them when they're young and stupid? He take care of some of us old and stupid. Help me to teach this morning. So God is not going to do things for you you can do for yourself. He's there to help you do the supernatural. You can't heal your body. The doctor can tell you all he can do, but you need to pray over your medicine. You need to, listen, that was a king that God let him die because he didn't confront God before he went to the doctor. He went to the doctor and then go to God. Go to God first for healing. And then go to the doctor. Are you listening to me? You have to try God first, not acting on you, but on God. God never wanted his saints. Now let me jump to something else. You need to leap over the wall of handicap. I don't leave this out. Because many people are facing a wall of handicap, and they don't know how to handle it. When you have a handicap, how do you handle it? What if you lost a leg? What if you lost both legs? What if you lost an arm? Are you going to let your handicapped wall stop you from leaping over it? You can leap over that wall. You have to not concentrate on your problem. Stop thinking about what you don't have and thank God to use what you have. You know, I'm aware of some of us slow learners. In many cases, I was a slow learner. I couldn't get to my classes and get that stuff like some of the Morehouse kids could. I just couldn't grasp it like those little old young men. I was older than most of them, but they could grab it like that. I tried to take a whole load, took a full course, and ended up in the hospital. And forgot I had a wife and three babies in a big church. I was sitting there looking at a young boy just getting it. I can do that. I forgot. I couldn't do that. I had to go back and take one, two courses. I had too much responsibility. Start using what you have. I was a little too slow to grab it like they could. Their minds were younger. Some of you are slow learners, but they're not all fast learners are not always successful people. Ask Ted Turner and all the rest of them who are millionaires. Ask Donald Trump. He's unorthodox. He's not like any president we ever seen, but he the president. You know what he did? He talked the talk folk wanted to hear. Whatever you say about the man, he's a brilliant thinker. He's not a billionaire for nothing. He know how to sell. He know what people like to hear. Tell him I'm going to build a wall. With what? You'll know when I get there. But the point is, you have to not let what you don't have stop you from using what you have. Oh, he's not an orator or person like Obama, but look, he got this country. And so you can't let your handicap wall stop you, regardless of what you like about people. People can become millionaires with a handicap. You know why? Can't be talking about, you all know I don't have this. I'm a slow learner. It ain't about learning slow or fast. Can you learn? The people I knew in high school were famous when I was in high school, dead now. I said, what happened to Bam so famous? Overdose on drugs. Have you seen folk who were famous in school and then when they get out, don't see them no more? And they laughed at everybody. I told you about a fellow once time that all of us laughed at him. He stuttered when he talked. We all laughed when he talked. When he goes, everybody go. I wouldn't laugh at him. But a fellow would laugh at him all the time, and this boy would pick on him. And after class, he'd go up and hit him. And he hit me. And the teacher stopped hitting him. And he just poked fun at him. Oh, he was slow. He didn't look too attractive. The girls didn't fall at him. This boy was attractive. He had to, you know, very handsome. Y'all know I came second handsome in school. In the ninth grade, the most handsome boy they voted in, they said, my teacher said, and guess who the girls voted second handsome? I was a preacher, I ain't wear nothing, but I didn't wear a whole lot of stuff. I hated all that stuff. He said, Timothy Fleming. I got mad. That's a lie. He said, that's where they voted. I get off of that. Well, I want to look like a preacher. But let me tell you something. This boy was a handsome guy. He'd always mess with this boy, and years went by. I went back to Jamaica, and I said, where's that guy in class when we always picked that? And all the girls said he was ugly, and he stuttered. He said, Reverend, you don't believe this. This is the boy who used to beat on him and pick at him. He said, I went downtown to take out a loan. This 25 years passed. He said, guess when they said the president of the branch wanted to talk to me? He said, I needed that house. I walked in and he said, guess who I went in the door and saw? Him. And he looked at him, wasn't even studying that time. How you doing? And he said, are you the guy? Hell, are you the guy? Mother said, he started studying me. Thank you, Mama. You're right. He said, well, me and my wife, my wife didn't know why I was shaking. I said, that's the one I beat up on. That's the one I laughed at. Wow. What goes around comes around. He said, I thought he was going to deny me. He said, I'm going to prove the law. I bought my house. Better be careful who you put down. The one you put down may be the one going to put you up. He didn't let that handicap stop him. He kept right on going, and he became a successful banker. I think about Hannah Messiah. Hannah, he was good, and one time he got paralyzed, and he got busted. He got broke. He had nothing. They laughed about his handicap. But when the time came for him to make a short, he composed one of his greatest. Hallelujah! 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 And we shall. I don't want to sing it. It became famous. Why? He took advantage of his handicap. One more. Roosevelt. Born in a wealthy family, a successful, handsome, tall young man, and all of a sudden became president of these United States of America. But in World War II, all of a sudden he started feeling something in his legs, had paralysis. After a while, he was crippled. We did not know sometime when Roosevelt stood up, he could barely stand. He had to hold on something, prop something, so he could speak. And when the Japs bombed Pearl Harbor and we went into World War II, here Roosevelt said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Here was a man sometime standing in pain, couldn't walk, moving around in a wheelchair. But if he said, if you hit, don't worry about me in the wheelchair, just let me get to the podium and let me brace myself and I'll save the nation. Handicap, but never allowed his handicap to make him handicap. He leaped over the wall. Am I looking at somebody? Handicap, you don't have to let your handicap make you handicap. Leap over it. There's a wall this morning. I'm bringing this to a close. There is a wall in front of you. What are you going to do? God won't move some things. You got to face it. And you have to make up in your mind, I'm going to take this with me if I have to. But I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm going to face this wall. I'm going to face this debt. Some of you got walls of debt. What do? Carry them along. Some folks like to brag about this paid for. As soon as you pay for it, it becomes no good. Face it. Why not buy a house? I always told you, my great friend, my mentor, William Home Borders. I asked Dr. Borders at Wheat Street, how did you build all this? How did you do it? You know what he told me? I always jump for something too big for me to handle. I wrote it down. I said, Pop, what? You built the credit union. You built all these houses. You built the senior citizens when no black church could do it. No black church. He said, I jumped for something too big for me to handle. Too big for me to handle. Grab that. can pay rent, you can pay a house note. Don't let that wall intimidate you. That's too high. Do you want it? How bad do you want it? Now, you can buy that house if you stop trying to buy everything else. You want a Cadillac, you want a Mercedes, and then later cry, Mercedes bills killing me. Cash model, pay the house note. You don't have no insurance to pay. Well, you don't have a car note. Pay your house note. Y'all want a Cadillac to drive up in an apartment and don't have nowhere to park it. And then want to know why somebody keyed it. Buy the house, you're going to have to drop something. You can't eat out every day. I did a research on how much money we lose on eating out. You have no, do a study on what you spent trying to eat out and be bigoted, and then going to be so fancy like you eat some of the food and leave half on. Eat it all and lick the plate if you want it. You paid for it. You just like a preacher was sitting there eating all the food. He just ate up all the chicken and ate up all the food and ate up everything on the plate. And everybody sitting there, he just eating it all. And they didn't say nothing. And he left two pieces after he ate up everything. They said, well, why you didn't eat that? He said, I didn't want y'all to think I was such a hog. Well, hog, you eat up everything. You got to learn how to budget. What you can't buy, you don't have to have on new suits. Change the style, change the pants, change the suit, change the coat. Let folk think it's new. I got suits 10, 15 years old. But really, that's new. I don't say nothing. You remember my mouth. Shut up. Let you think of it. I just don't wear them every day. Amen. Buy stuff that left of the buying when I was running my Bible, bought a lot of cheap suits and sweat and tear them up a lot. I start learning to buy a nice suit and it lasts. And I don't send them to the laundry maybe once a year. Some I ain't sent to the laundry in 5 years. Soon as I get out of this, I'm going in back and hang it up and dry it out. If it ain't stinking, then worry about it. Now, some of y'all go too far. You let it go to smell it. The chemicals was tearing up the garment. You learn how to budget. You learn how to do things. Fix car. If it's paid for, fix it up. How you going to save that car? Talk to the mechanic. Change the oil. I got Lucia been with me since 1984. She's still driving. Lucia. My first Mercedes. And she still takes the road, not fast as she used to. But when she'll get to going, one time my son Kenny got my car and messed up Lucille. And the last time I got Lucille fixed up, he got in the car and Lucille wouldn't crank. He said, Dad, this car won't crank. I said, Seal, stop now. She still wouldn't crank. I got in there, I said, move, boy. I got in Lucia and turned it on. She came right up. I said, Sia, why you wouldn't crank for him? She said, that's the Negro messed me up. I ain't cranking for him. I said, Sia, you stop that. Kitty said, Dad, you crazy talking that car like that. Well, I changed that oil about every 3 months. Changed that oil and filter. If you want to keep something, you can leap the wall. How many of y'all know how you leaped over a wall this morning? Don't forget, I'm not going to be long today. By the power of God, we're going to get out of today on time. By the power of God, I don't hoop in